This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580 and online at WILL.UIUC.EDU. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. On the program today, our monthly program on computers. Today, we welcome back to the program the science and technology reporter for the News Gazette, Greg Klein. Greg writes a couple of columns for the newspaper about computing, as well as his work as a reporter. They run on Mondays in the circuits section of the paper. And again, computers and you, a topic we take up once a month on the third Monday of the month. Listeners, you can join us this afternoon with your questions about computers. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. Welcome back.
Thanks, Celeste. It's good to be here.
Okay. No one's waiting to talk with us at the moment. So where should we start this afternoon?
Well, I wanted to say something. Last time a lady called and she had asked about a word processor for a Macintosh. And she asked in particular about TextEdit. It's kind of a little word processor that's built into the Macintosh operating system like WordPad in Windows. And she wanted to know if there was any way to make page numbers in that. I told her I didn't think so, and I was only partially right. So I wanted to correct that and offer her a couple of suggestions. In fact, a reader then emailed me and said, "No, you can if you go to the preference section of page or of text edit, you can set it to number pages. Here's the restriction." You don't see it on the screen, which might be disconcerting to you. Mm-hmm. It does print them, and it only does that in the most recent version. So if you're not up to date with, I think it's Mac OS 10.4, you wouldn't have a page numbering version of TextEdit. That said, it's a pretty functional little word processor. Absent the ability to do page numbers, it's got text formatting, and you can even drop tables and pictures in there, and a lot of things like that. So I think a lot of people would be able to get by with that. In dealing with this lady's question for, in fact, a column I'm doing a little later. I ran across some other things I thought I'd suggest to folks. One is a suite that's kind of like Microsoft Office, only open source, meaning volunteers do it, and free. And it's called NeoOffice, and it's just like it sounds, NeoOffice, one word. So if you go to www.neoOffice.org, you'll find that there. And if you just want a word processor, kind of like Microsoft Word, there's AbiWord. It's AbiWord. And then so if you go to www.abiword.com, you'll find that there. There is a version of that for the Mac operating system, for Windows, and also for Linux. And in my kind of testing of it, I've kept it. It's free. It's an open source program. And it seems to do a fairly nice job and can open Word files that I tested with it. So those are a couple of things I might suggest to her, or even some other folks not with the Mac operating system, who are looking for a word processor and don't want to spend a lot of money on it.
Okay.
Can't beat free.
No, you can't beat free. That's right. Let's talk with some listeners now. Our first caller this afternoon, online one in Champaign. Hi.
Hi. A question about a computer I've been using for 4 years. It has Windows XP Home. It's a Dell 2400, 256 megabytes of RAM. But only recently, in the past couple of months, I've been having this message appear, increasing virtual memory. And of course, when this happens, it slows down slower than molasses. I'm wondering, looked online, there's something called RegCure promises to fix this in 2 minutes as a free download. Is there anything to do that? Is it something I should do? Is there anything I can do about this? And I don't know why it's been happening suddenly after 3 years. I'd look for any insights you might have.
Well, This could be there could be a number of causes for that. I'd say the most now, you could have contracted some kind of malicious software, either spyware or adware, or maybe a virus or something. I don't know what kind of security software you're running, and whether you've scanned for that and cleaned out anything it finds. But that'd be a logical thing to do.
Spyware Blaster used and upgraded to Service Pack 2, and I do use a firewall. So,
how about your antivirus software? Are you running antivirus software?
I have Norton, which I just subscribe to annually.
Okay, so it's up. Do you keep it up to date then?
Yes.
Okay, and you've run those and cleaned out whatever you found, right?
I don't know if I've actually gone to Norton and done that.
Well, you might call up your Norton program and run a scan. Tell it to run a scan and run your spyware. Are you just running Spyware Blaster or Spy Blaster?
Yes.
Yeah, and you might also look into Spybot Search and Destroy and Adware Personal SE.
Okay.
They're free. And the thing with spyware, adware programs, catching programs that I've found is that, often some will catch things that the others don't.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not hurt by, and particularly since they're free, you're not hurt by, having a couple of those or three of them even available and running them periodically to clean that stuff out. Now, if you run your security software, your antivirus software, and your anti-spyware, adware software, and you don't find anything or you clean it all out and you've still got this problem, then, a couple of other things I'd say. So you've had this computer about 4 years. I don't know how much you, you install software or take software out.
Not often.
So even at not often, you've probably got some, in a technical term, you've probably gunked up your computer a little bit, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So there are some things that to be good to run kind of a cleaning operation on it.
Okay.
And I don't know if you've used disk defragmenter lately, for example.
Well, I try to do that every 6 months or so.
So you're running regular maintenance then.
And the last time I checked, it said it didn't need defrag. So
okay, well. It sounds to me like you're doing the security things, you're doing the regular maintenance things that you should be doing. So here's the last thing I'm going to tell you, okay? You got 256 megabytes of RAM.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that, despite what Microsoft says, the bottom line for Windows XP is 512 megabytes of RAM, so twice what you're running. And really, if you want to be comfortable, you ought to have twice that or a gigabyte of RAM.
Okay.
And the reason, virtual memory is what happens when your system doesn't have enough real RAM, physical RAM, to do what it – physical memory to do what it wants to get done, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it creates fake memory, in essence, or imitation memory, in essence, on your hard drive, right? Space for it to swap things in and out of. The problem is that real RAM, real memory, is quite speedy. So it can move things in and out of there real fast, right?
Okay.
But your hard drive is much slower. So if it's got to move things in and out of your hard drive, it bogs things down, and that's what you're seeing. So a logical thing to do if you're doing the security things and the maintenance things that are a good idea to do to keep your computer functioning in a smooth fashion, the logical thing would be to try putting some more RAM in there.
All right.
The good news, particularly if you're not going to replace this computer soon, right?
No.
The good news is that, RAM is not that expensive anymore. It used to be outrageously expensive, and now it's, fairly cheap. So you shouldn't have any trouble, finding more and putting some in there.
And meanwhile, did you know anything about this freeware, which comes up at the top of the Google search?
I don't know anything about that particular program off the top of my head. It's something that I'd want to look at before I told you, this is good, this is bad.
Well,
you always have to be careful about what comes with those kind of programs that you don't want. So you really ought to check that out and see if anybody's got anything to say about whether it's a purveyor of spyware and adware itself,
look,
for example.
Look for some reviews,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. And why he was calling, being cautious.
Yeah. And the second thing is it wants to clean your – it sounds to me from the name of it, it wants to clean your registry out, okay? And that's
right.
A logical thing too. Mm-hmm. The registry is the gigantic database of everything that's in your computer and how it all relates to each other. That really Windows sits on top of, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you mess that thing up, then you can have a lot of trouble. So you want to check it out from that perspective too, and make sure that it's not something that would do more damage than the good it might do.
Yeah, I've looked into that, but that's too much for me. I just have printed that out, and I'm afraid I'd be doing brain surgery that I couldn't undo if I made a mistake.
Right. And before you do anything to your registry, you always want to, run system restore and,
uh-huh.
and back it up, or run the registry backup thing in system tools and make sure you have a copy of it somewhere.
Starting to appear with increasing frequency enough to get annoying, so I wanted to do something.
I'd try the RAM thing, and that might solve the problem entirely.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Next, we talk with a listener on line 2 in Champaign. Good afternoon. Oh, we're ready to go now? Okay. Line 2, listener in Champaign. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm sort of non-technical, so I'll work my way through here. I'm having difficulty. I used Yahoo as email. Maybe that's the difficulty. And usually, I don't have a computer at home, so I go to the library. When I go into the code and the whole thing, the name and, I try. Sometimes what happens, I get partially through and it won't go any further. I click it on to put my name in and maybe it'll just get the, first name part of it in. And then it'll just, nothing will happen. And what I do is on the left, I click a couple times and then I'll see the little hourglass run and finally it'll sort of stop and it spreads out. Okay. So then the same way when I put in, what do they call them, the code word or whatever that says.
The password?
Password, okay.
Yeah.
Same way. Sometimes what happens is I put it in and it, and if I get too quick, it isn't filled out. And then finally when I get into my email, I'll be working on maybe, reply or some or other, and I get the same problem. So is that because of Yahoo, or is that because of, at the library, what do they call that, the main place, where a lot of this stuff goes through? Is that, in other words, it's...
Yeah.
Is
well,
that what,
it, and let me make sure I see what you're describing to me here.
Okay.
So you're entering your username and your password, and sometimes those just don't get entered.
Well,
they hang up.
Yeah, they hang up. Okay.
Yeah.
But it doesn't crash or anything, and then but nothing will happen.
Does it eventually catch up or no?
Yeah, but what I have to do is that I find to facilitate it. For some reason, when I click on left side of the mouse there, that it'll actually I'll see this little hourglass, and all of a sudden and for a while, and then finally it'll fill out. But that's aggravating enough. But then when I go to do an email, I'll have the same problem. I'll, if I want to do a reply and all of a sudden I'll start, it just doesn't, respond.
Yeah, it hangs up.
They call it hang up. Okay, so what causes that?
Well, it could be the things you said there. There could be a lot of people using the system at the library, and you get slow, glitchy behavior because of that. Or it could be that on Yahoo's end, they're having problems with their servers, and you get slow, glitchy behavior because of that. Or it could be because of the traffic in between the library and Yahoo on the paths you're trying to travel on the internet, and you get slow, glitchy behavior because of that. It's just kind of the nature of the beast.
Okay, and also, do you find that different you know, in other words, what they call them. I'm trying to think of what firewall or fire. What's the one? The Firefox. That one does it. It seems sometimes maybe that one goes slower. Is that because of the popularity or what?
Well, I think that no, it isn't because of necessarily Firefox's popularity. I think that what it is that Yahoo, shame on them, does some things with it. It's been my experience. Does some things with its system that are Internet Explorer, Microsoft Internet Explorer centric. Okay.
So
if you approach it with Firefox, or if you're on a Mac and you approach it with Apple Safari browser or something like that, you can run into situations like that.
But the other one is that I noticed that in Firefox, supposedly, you know, this yellow line comes up that it's more secure. Is that true versus on the Yahoo or the what's the other Microsoft? Is it actually more secure or not?
Well, there's something of a debate about that, but I think yes. Overall, Firefox tends. I use it, and I suggest it to people because I think that overall it tends to be more secure than Internet Explorer. Mm. Although the latest version of Internet Explorer 7 makes some improvements in that area. But the fact is, you know, Microsoft's the biggest target. So people that are doing malicious software aimed at browsers and want to get the most bang for their effort are going to aim it at Internet Explorer. And Microsoft's a big company that is sometimes a little bit slow to fix its security problems, whereas Firefox is an open source piece of software with, you know, all kinds of thousands of volunteer programmers working on it. It tends to fix its problems more quickly.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Next, we take a call from Wellington on line 4. Hi.
Yes, I have a couple questions. Number one, I'm thinking about upgrading my computer, and I have a Dell now, and it's a 98 SE, and I've been kind of waiting for Vista to come out. How soon do you think they're going to have the major bugs worked out of that? And two, what's the difference between the basic and the premium?
Okay. Home basic and home premium.
You're right.
Yeah. You don't want to buy basic. You don't want to buy the lowest level, okay?
Okay.
Because you don't really get very many of the improvements that are in Vista at the very basic level, okay? So you want to get one with you should get home premium. I don't think you need the, you know, super version that has everything unless you're really interested in using it as kind of a media center or some other more complicated things, right?
Okay.
And unless you're kind of business oriented, you probably don't need the business version either. Home premium, you get the new interface and the new security features and the other bells and whistles. So that's probably what you're looking at. And I think most machines you buy now for, you know, people, regular people like you and me, which they call consumer machines, will have home premium on it. All right. Now, as far as when I think that they're going to work the bugs out, I think they're gradually doing that. Okay, it's probably better now than it was. It came out really end of January was the first time you started getting machines and being able to buy it in a box at the store Vista. And so by now, you know, they've issued a number of bug fixes and so it gets better all the time. I really think that, though, that typically what Microsoft has done in the past is issue big packages of bug fixes called service packs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that if you can, you know, if you need to buy a computer now, then buy a computer now. It'll work okay. But I really think if you can wait and you don't mind waiting, that it's good to wait until, they have that first service pack, which who knows when that'll be. But I would imagine that towards the end of the year or early next year, they will do that, right?
Okay.
Now, here's another alternative I'll give you, okay?
Okay.
And I don't really suggest this because, things are going to be Vista. You might as well go Vista. But, you know, Dell is now At first, they were only going to sell machines with Vista, right? Now they're selling machines with Windows XP because a lot of people are not leaping on the bandwagon to convert to Vista, and they want Windows XP because it's a nice stable system that's been massaged over a number of years now, and they don't want to mess with Vista.
Yeah, I understand it, but I'm kind of looking to my other machine is 7 years old.
Right.
And I'm probably going to keep it for a comparable length of time, so I kind of want to go with what's the newest thing out there.
Yeah, look into the future. As I said, I don't write on
it. Okay, the other thing is I just re-upped and subscribed for my Norton antivirus. Well, they quit, supporting Windows SE. So basically what I'm running is 2005 because that's the last year for antivirus. Now, I talked to my little friend in India, and I still, when the smoke cleared, after I subscribed, I wasn't too sure yet whether, when I get the live updates, am I getting current?
Yes.
Current?
Yes, you should be getting, what you want are the virus definitions, right?
Right.
That keep it up to date on on the new viruses and the changes in the old viruses so that it sees it and does something with them.
Okay.
So you should be fine as long as, those are coming in and being installed properly and Norton is selling it to you.
Okay, I got two quick questions that are kind of interrelated and then I'll let you go. I've got SpyBot and Adware on this thing.
Uh-huh.
But I've never really cleaned the stuff out. It's been collecting. Of course, this thing is running slower and slower and slower all the time. Because I'm not sure if there's anything in there that I shouldn't clear out. Can you tell me about that?
Well, if you look at both those programs, they tend to color code things or mark things in some fashion. And they tell you, and I can't remember which one it is now. I wish I had them both in front of me. But, the things in green are things that you can blow away and you're not likely to suffer any kind of pain because of that, right? The things in yellow are things that you may want to think about it, but you're probably okay. And the things in red, are things you really ought to think about because you don't know what other problems you might cause by getting rid of those. So certainly you can look at the ones that they mark as green or must remove, and you can remove those. And then maybe you want to think about the red and yellow. Look at the names, Google them. SpyBot over on the right side, you'll see kind of a little silver bar with the little arrows on it. If you click that, it usually has information about what that particular thing is, that can help you decide what you want to do with it.
Okay. So. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Greg Klein is with us this afternoon. He's on the Science and Technology beat at the News Gazette. And this is a topic, computers, that we take up once a month on the third Monday of the month. My name is Celeste Quinn. You can join us this afternoon with a telephone call, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll free, 800-222-9455. Let's go north now to Rockford, a listener on line 3. Hi.
Howdy. Thank you. I have a problem here with my Internet Explorer. I have a Windows XP on a computer. It's about 2 years old.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't been able to use Internet Explorer for over a month now. The message I get is Internet Explorer cannot display the web page. And so I've found out that I could go to Mozilla Firefox and get on the Internet. However, I want to take some online courses, engineering courses from University of Illinois, and they say I have to have a Microsoft Internet Explorer. Well, it won't work. What do I do to get it to work? It quit working.
Well, and again, I'll say, as I said to Yahoo, shame on the University of Illinois for making the web, which is supposed to be an open system, Microsoft-centric, so that you have to use Internet Explorer. But what version of Internet Explorer are you using, sir?
Well, I have Windows XP. Is that answering your question?
Well, maybe. You're probably, if you've never updated it, maybe you're using some version of version 6, right?
Yeah, I don't know how to tell.
So have you... Do you run Windows Update, Microsoft Windows Update, periodically?
It used to automatically run. I don't know if it still does or not.
Well, you ought to run that manually. You know, go to your start menu. You go to your start menu. It should be on there, Windows Update, and run it. Have it look, for updates. And some of the updates that it will offer should be Internet Explorer. Now, it'll probably offer some updates for Internet Explorer 6, and it'll also offer you Internet Explorer 7. I'd go ahead and download Internet Explorer 7 and see, see if you can get that working. And it just tells you it can't see the web page.
Yeah, now
I've tried
to download other things, and I'm not able to download anything. I get a thing that says mass downloader has expired or something. How do I download?
Boy, this is sounds a little more complicated than we started out talking about here. So, but Firefox works. You can get to web pages.
Firefox works for the internet,
right? And have you tried to download anything with Firefox?
Well, I've had trouble with getting the Hewlett-Packard printer to do what it's supposed to do, and I've called Hewlett-Packard, and they've asked me to try to download things, and I can't download anything. Because the only option I have for downloading, it comes up with Mass Downloader, and there's an option there of download or save to a disk and various things like that.
All right. Have you tried to download anything with Firefox?
Well, I'm not sure how to know.
Well, you go and you click on a download link, and a window comes up to tell you it's downloading, and then it puts the file somewhere on your computer wherever you've designated. So have you tried anything like that?
Well, I guess not. I've tried to download. I haven't found any way to do it. Whether it's doing it with Firefox or something else, I don't know how to tell.
Well, just and again, I probably can't do you a whole lot of good without knowing more about it and spending some time looking into it, because it's a little more complicated than we started out talking about. But let me say it. Let me give you these two pieces of advice, okay, as to troubleshooting this, all right?
Yeah.
You've either got a problem with your internet connection or you've got a problem with your web browser, okay? If Firefox works, if it goes to web pages, if you're able to download programs or updates with Firefox. Now, you're not going to be able to use Windows Update with Firefox. You have to use Internet Explorer for that.
Yeah.
But if Firefox works, then the problem is more than likely with Internet Explorer, right? So you need to do something about either reinstalling the version of Internet Explorer that you've got, or installing Internet Explorer 7, all right?
Yeah.
Now, if Firefox doesn't work, if you can't get to web pages and you can't download with it, then you've got a connection problem.
Well, I can get all the web pages, and I can send email. I can get connection, no problem.
All of this with Firefox.
Yeah, and I have broadband.
Yeah, so it seems like your connection's fine.
Yes.
It seems like you've got a problem with Internet Explorer, and what kind of did you say it's a Hewlett Packard?
Yeah, it's a.
Did they give you an actual Windows disk, or is it a set of restore disks? In other words, do you have a CD from Microsoft that says Microsoft Windows?
I got the computer with all the stuff on it, and I did what they advised was to back it up on a disk.
Okay.
So I backed up all the things as they said on the disk.
Well, all right. I think that the easiest thing for you to do, the most logical thing to try first, is to reinstall Internet Explorer, either the version that you have, which is probably version 6 or version 7. All right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's the first step that I would take. And then without going further into this, I probably can't tell you any more detailed thing to do at this point. If you will email me, though, and my email address is Kline, KLINE, at news-gazette.com. give me a description of the problem and tell me a little bit about your computer, you know, what brand it is and what version of XP it's running and that kind of thing. And I'll look further into it and see if I can't find you a better answer.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, okay. One other question. I bought a used a Gateway 2550 Solo. Thought I'd get it to use as a portable laptop. And I need a hard drive and maybe a battery for it and a modem. Is that advisable to get that and to get it going?
Again, I don't know. I'm not, you know, familiar with that machine right off the top of my head. How old is it?
Oh, I think it showed a date of, what was it? Let me see if it shows here. I got a 90, ship date, 2000.
So it's 7 years old. No, yeah. I wouldn't spend the money on a hard drive and a battery to get it operating.
Not even on eBay or anything, huh?
Well, I mean, you know, you could sell anything on eBay, but as far as the functionality of that seven-year-old laptop and the money you'd have to spend on a hard drive and a battery, I don't think that I'd invest in that.
Sure. Okay. Well, thanks for that advice, and I'll see what I can do with this, and then if I can't, I'll try to email you a description of the problem.
Yeah, if you can email me a description of the problem and something about your machine, we'll look further into it.
Sure.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Take care. Next, we take a listener's call on line one in Champaign. Hi.
Yes, Mr. Klein. I'm running XP Service Pack 2 and using Opera as my browser, sometimes Firefox. My problem deals with CSS, the cascading style sheets. I have a window that's called Error Console, and it has innumerable minor errors that come. I can exit out, I can exit the window out, I can clear it or close it, as as the case may be. And the window comes up with all the CSS errors on it about every 5 or 6 seconds. I clear it out, and it's good for maybe a couple of minutes. And then the window pops right back up again. As you know, the cascading style sheets, this is an example. LinkedIn style sheet, declaration syntax error, line 66, number properties. That's the type of CSS error.
Right. Now, ma'am, are you getting this when you're using Opera? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, I get it whether I'm using Opera or Firefox, either one.
Interesting. And only on particular websites or all kinds of websites?
No, doesn't matter.
Hmm.
The only one I don't get it on is when I have the Outlook on.
Internet Explorer, you mean? Outlook's a email and organization program. So you're talking about web browsing, right?
Uh-huh.
So with Internet Explorer. Okay. So the only time you don't get it is when you're using Internet Explorer. Is that right?
I don't have the Internet Explorer 7 browser on my I don't have it on my computer. I have an authorized version of Microsoft. It's on my computer, but it's not, I haven't found a way to bring it up. Although Opera and Firefox both work fine, it's just this error console that consists of all these CSS errors, and I'm trying to figure out how to get rid of it.
Okay. Well, I don't know. And I don't know if you can, okay? I think you were hitting, you know, websites that are coded in such a way that Opera and Firefox evidently don't like it, okay? And Internet Explorer doesn't have a problem with it, which leads me to believe that those websites are coded in a way that's, you know, Internet Explorer specific. And again, I'll say, you know, website developers should not be coding the open web in a way that's Internet Explorer specific. If it's not, you know, if it's not
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, if it's not interrupting your
no, it isn't.
Yeah, just close the window.
And yeah, it's just the window pops up and then I close it and it goes away.
Right.
Actually, it doesn't glow away. It just down at the bottom where you have your tabs, it has error console. So it's still on the computer. It's just not blocking the screen.
Right. Well, you know, and I'm kind of looking at some material on this as we're talking here, and I'll just tell you here's a little description from one technical site I'm looking at, and it says bugs such as this, just one of hundreds of CSS bugs that have been documented in various versions of Netscape, Mozilla, Firefox, Opera, and Internet Explorer, including Internet Explorer 7. Okay? So,
right.
So in other words, this is not at all uncommon, and if it's not, you know, if it's not causing any grief as far as functionality.
Just grin and bear it.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't worry too much about it. Now, what you also might do, ma'am, and I have Internet Explorer in front of me here, not Firefox and Opera, but is fish around in the settings, in the preference settings and, you know, tool settings for those two browsers and see if there's a way of turning those notifications off. Then you may not have to look at the window.
Yeah. Okay.
Out of sight, out of mind.
There you go.
Okay. Look, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Good luck. Let's take another call now. A listener in Tuscola on line two. Hi.
Hello.
Hi there.
I am having trouble with a particular bit of functionality on the Windows operating system, particularly when I use when I'm trying to open a file. I like to use the detailed view that involves not only knowing what the file name is, but also
size and whatnot. Yeah.
Right. Well, the default usually is not the detailed, but just the file name, and it's not relatively easy to look at. And particularly when I'm in an open box dialog, or say in my email program, or I'm trying to make an attachment, etc. I can't get the computer to accept my changes on a permanent basis. It might do it for that one occasion when I'm making the change in the view, but between that and resizing the dialog box so that it's big enough so that I can see what, you know, most recent files are or whatever, it doesn't stick, so to speak. And I wondered if there's some one central location in the Windows operating system, in the, I don't know, the control panel or whatever, where I can make those changes. When I do it in Windows, in my computer, when I go under the preferences and to save the things so that it looks the same again the next time I go into it, or I try to use the same format for all folders the way I've just changed it to this folder. To make a long story short, it just doesn't stick.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, you want it always to show the detailed view, right? That's what you're telling me. You want it always to show the detailed view.
Whenever I open up a file, when I go use the open dialog box, whether it's in an email program or in my word processor or whatever, I want to see the detailed view, And I'd like the box, if the dialogue allows me to make the box bigger, to stay in that shape and that size. And, you know, like, it's on a similar basis when I look at, it's a related question, if I'm looking at my available disk drives, you know, there are columns that are only of a certain number of pixels width, and if I can't see everything I want to see, I have to stretch it out. That gets reset over and over again. Maybe they're all located in the same place. Maybe there's a central dialogue location where I can figure out what those parameters are, and I can make those kinds of changes on a permanent basis.
And we didn't say what version of Windows you're using there.
I'm using XP. I'm sorry.
Okay. And Service Pack
2.
Yeah, and now I have to remember how to do this, but there is a way to do it. I'll tell you what, email me,
okay?
And because I'm not going to find it real fast here,
it's a relatively
simple way. There is a relatively simple way to do that, and if you have my email address, right?
Klein@news-gazette.com.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll get that for you, and then let me say this, okay? So that should work, right? But not always.
You get what you pay for. I understand.
Yeah. Well, yeah, in a sense. So.
Okay. Very good. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thanks for the call this afternoon. Got to do some research now. After the fact here. Well, we only have a minute and a half or so left here this afternoon. And before we go, I thought maybe I would ask you about subscription security software. This is kind of a new thing, and as I understand it, it's becoming pretty popular. What do you think?
Well, I don't know if I want to say yet that it's becoming pretty popular, but
okay.
The idea is, and another way that I've heard this couched is as managed internet security services. Okay, there's one in particular that's been getting some attention. It's called Invisus Direct, InvisusDirect, www.invisusdirect.com. I hope I'm pronouncing their name right. And this is what they do. So instead of you having to go out and, buy Norton antivirus and download SpyBot and AdAware, they connect to your computer. You hire them.
Mm-hmm.
You pay them a fee. They connect to your computer. They install all this kind of stuff that you need, including a firewall and some other things,
mm-hmm.
Themselves. While you can sit there and watch them doing it, they're controlling your computer remotely via the internet, right? And then they keep it all up to date and in good repair for you. Okay, so it kind of saves you the labor of having to batten down the hatches on your computer. So, and I frankly think that this is the direction that other the bigger security companies are going to move into, the Nortons and the McAfees and and Microsoft with its Windows with its new Windows security suite. So it's just kind of an interesting approach to the thing that.
It will be.
Make sure your computer is – well, you better because you're paying for it. Make sure your computer is up to date and you don't have to do it yourself.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's interesting. The September Consumer Reports has a big spread on computers and online – going online safely. And one of the things that they found in there – They did a survey of consumers, and a lot of folks, they haven't done it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't put the virus protection on, and they don't,
right.
if they're running wireless, they don't do that protection. So and there's a lot of folks out there who aren't doing it, and maybe if they had an option where they just pay somebody to do it remotely, it might get done.
Now. Real quick, I want to say if that man who wants to get his view the way he wants it, if he will right-click on my computer and he will select the view menu, then he'll select the tools menu, he'll select folder options, He'll make any changes he wants in the General tab and then click the View tab, and then there's an Advanced Settings box that should let him set that as the default.
Okay.
So then he's got to go back to Tools, Folder Options, View, and Apply to All Folders.
Very good.
So it's a little more complicated than I recalled it being,
okay.
But hopefully he'll find those.
Very
and
good.
If he writes me, I'll send him those directions.
Okay. Greg, thanks so much.
Okay, thank you.
Good to have you back.